SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Llegaron los nuevos McCrispy Strips, listos para aventurarse en la mezcla de mayo ketchup, la barbecue que quedó en el fondo de la cajita, Hot Fudge Sundae y en la nueva Creamy Chili McCrispy Strip Dip. Los nuevos McCrispy Strips, ahora en McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hello and welcome to the NITV News Podcast. A class action lawsuit has been lodged against the Queensland government alleging systematic racism within the state's health network. Filed in the federal court, the claim alleges First Nations people in the north of the state have been denied adequate health care for decades.
For almost 30 years, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have allegedly been discriminated against by a substandard health system, and the government must be held to account, according to a new class action.
This matter is about achieving redress and justice on behalf of thousands of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who we allege have been treated differently and who have received a substandard of healthcare on the basis of their race.
The case focuses on primary healthcare providers in Queensland's far north, the Northwest Hospital and Health Service and the Torres and Cape Hospital and Health Service. Lawyers have travelled to many of the communities involved, speaking to potential claimants and gathering evidence. Among them is prominent Indigenous human rights barrister Joshua Creamer.
We've heard horrible, harrowing stories of people who've been turned away and who have suffered extreme outcomes as a result. Their health has suffered, and in some cases they've passed away.
Queensland's health minister wouldn't comment on the case, but admits discrimination is unacceptable, saying his government is working to bring about change.
We can't have wards not open and services not being delivered. Secondly, let's look at the workforce gaps and what we need to do to fill the workforce, because it's the workforce that will deliver the services. And then we need to also, in jointly with that, look at the cultural issues that have led to the complaints in the first place.
The matter is expected to go before the federal court in the coming months. Carly Willis, NITV News.
WA Senator Dorinda Cox has defected from the Greens to the Labor Party in a shock move on Monday. The Yamatji Noongar woman made the announcement alongside Prime Minister Anthony Albanese in Perth. She's the second Indigenous senator to leave the Greens party in recent years, raising questions over their relationship with First Nations communities.
After 4 years lockstep with the Greens, a surprise move from WA Senator Dorinda Cox.
Today I'm resigning from the Australian Greens to join the Labor Party, to sit as a Labor Senator as part of the Albanese government.
Cox simply stating Labor is now better aligned with her values and that she's ready to get to work.
I am in public life to make real change. I will continue to be focused and committed to the work in my home state of WA, and I look forward to serving as a proud Labor Senator.
However, the move has left some questioning her motives, particularly given allegations of bullying within Senator Cox's office. The Prime Minister telling reporters he's looked into the issue.
We examined everything that had been considered in the past. Those issues were dealt with appropriately.
Following the federal election last month, Senator Cox had run for the deputy leadership of the Greens Party, but fell 6 votes short. Greens leader Larissa Waters telling the ABC there's no bad blood between the party and Ms Cox.
There's no animosity there. It's obviously disappointing for us to lose a Greens senator, but Dorinda has said her values lie there.
The Greens now left with no First Nations representatives after Victorian Senator Lydia Thorpe became an independent back in 2023. Senator Waters stating that won't impact the party's position on Indigenous policies.
The Greens remain entirely committed to strong advocacy on truth-telling, on treaties, on justice, on healing, on reparations.
Despite the move, the Greens still hold the balance of power in the Senate.
Yesterday was Mabo Day, an annual commemoration of the 1992 High Court decision that recognised the existence of native title in Australia. The landmark decision was the result of a legal battle led by Mer Island man Eddie Quakey Mabo and others who challenged the claim that their traditional land was owned by the Crown. Our reporter Emma Kellaway caught up with Caleb Mabo, the grandson of the late land right activist, to hear his reflections on this significant day.
Caleb, this year marks 33 years of Mabo Day. What does this day mean for you?
It's a nice celebration. It's a day where we remember the fight that Koikeata had, the hard work that they put in over the 10 years. So yeah, it's a great day to celebrate the tenacity that they had to continue fighting.
And today, I guess, in a way, you're continuing on your grandfather's legacy through a new documentary you're creating. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
So now we're telling my grandfather's story through my eyes. I just want to open people's eyes up to understand the reasons why he fought so hard, what is so important about this piece of land or this area in the Torres Strait, what made it so significant for him.
And what are your thoughts on the impact that Native Title has had for mobs since the historic High Court decision?
I believe there's still a lot more education to happen around Native Title, what it means for community and how we can best utilise what we have once we get a Native Title decision. But it's really nice to see, I guess, the fruits of Koikeata's labour and the way that communities are somewhat benefiting from that by regaining some Native Title.
Australia's first three-dimensional tapestry will soon be unveiled in Naarm, Melbourne, designed by two First Nations artists. The enormous tapestry uses more than 270 kilometres worth of wool and will soon be hung in a new hospital in Melbourne's west.
10,000 hours of work and more than 100 different colours of yarn, finally cutting loose the country's first 3D tapestry.
It's been pretty amazing. I've only been able to see the tapestry as it partially rolled. It's quite a confronting thing to walk in this morning and see them both together, fully rolled out.
This enormous work, weighing more than 130 kilograms and taking up 42 square metres, was made by the Australian Tapestry Workshop for the soon-to-be-opened Footscray Hospital.
It was so large we had to weave it on two separate looms with a team of 12 people. It's taken us over a year to weave it.
Designed by two First Nations artists, it takes inspiration from reeds along the Maribyrnong River in Melbourne's west, the weaving itself telling a powerful yarn.
River reed necklaces were given to people passing through country as a sign of safe passage and friendship.
A family thread connects the artists. The tight-knit collaborators are great aunt and nephew.
It's been a great process working with Auntie Marie. I think for us, we've been working together for so many years now.
As the opening of the new Footscray Hospital looms, hopes the artwork will create a culturally safe environment for Aboriginal patients.
So many of us struggle from health issues and spend a lot of time engaging with public health systems, and we would hope that this work allows for them to see that, you know, our people are here and that we also have a presence in these spaces.
It's incredibly powerful for non-Aboriginal people as a welcome, but also to Aboriginal people, I'm sure, to see something so important, a piece of their culture, hanging so proudly in our brand new hospital that'll open soon in Footscray.
Weaving a story for Mob with no loose ends in sight. Cameron Gooley, NITV News.
And that's all for now. I'm Luana Grant. For more in Indigenous news, tune in to NITV News weeknights at 6:30 p.m. and stay tuned right here on NITV Radio for all the latest news updates.
Llegaron los nuevos McCrispy Strips, listos para aventurarse en la mezcla de mayo ketchup, la barbecue que quedó en el fondo de la cajita, Hot Fudge Sundae y en la nueva Creamy Chili McCrispy Strip Dip. Los nuevos McCrispy Strips, ahora en McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.